Amen. Praise the Lord. Tremendous song. Let's turn to Matthew 28, verse 1. Matthew 28, verse 1. Experience the resurrection. Matthew 28 and verse 1. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity to be in your house on this Resurrection Sunday. We just thank you for coming up out of that grave and being victorious over death.
Amen.
And we thank you that we can partake of that victory also, Father.
Yes.
We just thank you that we have this opportunity to hear your word preached here today, Father.
Yes.
I do pray that you speak to each heart in here, Father, and equip us to spread the light during this coming week and during this time of the coronavirus. Just help us, as we heard in Sunday school today, help us to see how they see you, Father, so we can point them in your direction.
Yes.
And just help us to understand and give us wisdom. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. We pray.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is what?
Not here,
for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Today we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grave could not hold him. And as we think about that, the impact and the application upon our lives as well. If you hold your place here and turn to me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Bible talks so much about the resurrection and so many applications to our own lives. And Romans 6 and verse 4. Romans 6, 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what? Raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? Walk in newness of life. But before the resurrection came, let's go back to Matthew 28. Before the resurrection came, there had to come an end. The Bible says in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, before the resurrection could take place, there had to come an end. Jesus had to come to the end and give up his life for us before there could be a great resurrection day. Notice in John 13, John chapter 13 and verse 1. And Jesus did fulfill that right to the end. John 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should what? Depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto what? The end. So the end had to come. And aren't you glad for God's great love that Jesus was willing to fulfill that right to the end, that he was willing to die for us? Notice in Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah chapter 31, I'm so thankful that the Lord's love never ends. He's so gracious. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Bible says, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have what? Loved thee with what? An everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God's love never ends. It's an everlasting love. And it makes us think of John 3:16, John chapter 3 and verse 16, because God's everlasting love provides for us everlasting life. In John 3 and verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So Jeremiah 31:3, his everlasting love. John 3:16 brings us to everlasting love through Christ and the blood he shed on the cross. Look at John 3:36. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If we do not accept the free gift through God's everlasting love, if we don't accept that free gift of everlasting life, then John 3:36, the last part, will be true of us. Then the wrath of God will be poured out upon us. And that also is everlasting. Everlasting torment. What a horrible thing to face. But John 5, verse 24. In John 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And let's go back to verse 24. I guess I was reading verse 25. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And today, every lost sinner can pass from death unto life. I was reading about doctors in New York and a doctor in Los Angeles, and both of these were trying this malaria drug plus zinc. And the one doctor said, "I had a patient that was very, very sick. I gave this to this patient, and within 8 to 10 hours, this patient had no symptoms of being sick at all." And the other doctor from New York was dealing with a group of 150 patients and using the same thing, only I think he might have been also giving an antibiotic with it. But just, he said, "When I give this regimen to someone who is very sick," he said, "I have not had to hospitalize one of them. I have not had to intubate one of them. And not one of them has died." And you just think, wow, what a wonderful thing. And yet I've read about some governors that have forbidden that drug to be used in their state. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, we have doctors using these and seeing terrific results, but they refuse for whatever reason. I don't know. Is it a political reason? They just trying to spite someone that's trying to promote the drug? I don't know their motive. I don't know their reason. But I know they're withholding something that for people that's kept them from dying. And I think the same thing, spiritually speaking. There are so many people in this world that are fighting against the name of Jesus Christ. They're fighting against people to gather together today in the name of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. And we're talking about not just physical death here, but eternal life versus eternal damnation, eternal condemnation. And you think, why would anyone try to hinder the gospel from going forth? How sad. Before the resurrection can take place, we've got to come to the end. Matthew 28:1. Once again, Matthew 28:1. "It was in the end of the Sabbath." You can't start a new week till you finish one. It's kind of like you young people, younger people, you know how it is. You can't have dessert until you what? Finish the food on your plate. You can't come to something wonderful until you come to an end, until you come to the end of the food on your plate. And it's the same way. There's no way to come to eternal life. There's no way to come to everlasting life until we come to the end of ourselves, the end of our trying to work our way to heaven. It'll never work. Notice in Titus 3:5. At the end of the Sabbath, and then the beginning, the dawn of the first day of the week. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3:5. The Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness," what? "Which we have done, but according to" what? "His mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Go also to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be back to both of these passages to discuss something else in just a moment. But Titus chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is" what? "The gift of God, Not what? Of works, lest any man should boast. And the reason there's no way for us to get to heaven by our own good works is because the payment for sin is not good works. What is the payment for sin? It's death. Romans 6:23. We're trying to use the wrong payment means. I received a notice of a bill this week, and I don't think I received it this week, but it was due this week. But I noticed on there it said, if you're having trouble paying your bills because of the coronavirus, you know, contact us through this means. So what would happen if I write to them and say, well, I don't have any money this week, but I do have some rocks on my property. In fact, I've got a really big rock. I've got three big rocks in front of my property. You know, could I trade you? You know, this biggest rock is worth probably $1,500, maybe $2,000, you know, on the market. Would you accept this rock for my payment this week? And P.S., could you come and get it? Because I don't have any way to get it to you. What would they say? Sorry, can't do that. It's got to be payment in the right means. Well, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payment for our sin is death. It's that simple. There's no other way to pay for it. And it'd have to be payment by someone who is not a sinner. And so that wipes out every person that's ever been born, except one who was born of a miraculous virgin birth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And because he was born of a miraculous virgin birth, he was born without a sin nature. We all have sin natures. Just look at a tiny little child. They will try to do wrong if they can get away with it. We don't teach them that. It's just by nature. So it needed to be someone without a sin nature, and it needed to be someone who could actually live and not sin. Pilate said at Jesus' trial, I find in him what? No fault at all. And so he was born without sin. He lived a perfect life. And so he could pay the sin price for us. And that's what the resurrection is all about, is when he come up out of the grave, it proved that his payment was accepted. I mean, if someone went into the bank to pay off your house or whatever loan you might have, so they go in to make the payment and they come out in handcuffs and they take them away in a police cruiser, what would that mean? Well, it'd mean that something went wrong. If they make the payment, they should be able to come out the door what? Free. Amen. That's exactly what Jesus did. When he was put in that grave, he come out proving that the payment was paid. He come out free. And praise God for what a Savior that we have. And that's why Jesus is the only way to heaven. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Some people say, well, you know, you just have your religion, I have mine. It doesn't matter what way we choose. I mean, we're all headed the same place. No, there's only one payment for just what the reason we've stated. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but what? By me. And exactly the reason we just stated. So, number one, we've got to come to the end. If you come to the end in your life of trying to figure out some way you can save yourself, have you come to the end and realized Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life? And then we come, Matthew 28, to the beginning. If we get to the end, now we can have a beginning. If we see ourselves for what we are, lost sinners, now we have hope for a new beginning. In Matthew 28, in verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to what? Dawn toward the first day of the week. The first day of the week is Sunday. The previous day is Saturday, the end of the week. Sunday is the beginning of a week. And as we think about that, we know when we come to the end of ourselves, now is when we can really have a new beginning. And really life can be meaningful at that point. I appreciate what Pastor Jeremy said about the man he's talking to. Just realizing that when we get saved, it is a new life. It is a new life in Christ. So, it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Has something begun to dawn upon you since you've gotten saved? That is, that God has something for you to do. There are so many people running around right now that are so bored. They can't go to their job. Now they're told you can't even go to your friend's house. Now they're being told you can't buy things for your garden. So what are you supposed to do? They're so bored, and yet I'm thinking, since all this started, I'm busier than I was before. I was telling Brother Wall, we were talking about a certain thing. He was talking to me, showing me how to do something. And I was just telling him, I'm just swamped. I don't even have time to try it right now. And it's just, there's just so many things going on. This morning I was in here taping a message a little before dawn for one of the nursing home ministries. And you know what? I'm just loving it. I am just loving it. Just that I've thanked the Lord so many times. Lord, thank you for something to do for you in this time. And I am not complaining the least about being busy. I'm just, thank you, Lord. Thank you for these open doors. Verse 1, it needs to dawn on us, you know what? That God has something for each of us to do. Notice in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9, 14. The Bible says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works to what? Serve the living God. There is so many things. We're not talking about dead works that are trying to save ourselves or impress anybody. Get rid of the dead works. It's time to rise up and serve the Lord. That's what we want to do. And it says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know, when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, there is so much to do. Notice in Ephesians 2, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. I told you we'd be back to these passages. Verses 8 and 9 told us about that we're not saved by our works. But verse 10, for we are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I like what Pastor Jeremy said about to the guy he's talking to about, you know, look for things to do at work. Be ambitious. Take the initiative. And if you see something that could be done to improve the system, talk to your boss about it. Hey, your boss will love it if you can get out more work than normal or do it better than normal. They'll appreciate that. And there is so much we can do in the Lord's work. God has foreordained here, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. The Bible says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to what? Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So to maintain good works, there's so much to do for the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It was sad to see Pastor Jeremy talking about these friends of John and Matthew, that their grandparents passed away and they're all alone. You know, talk about what is essential and what is not essential right now. I tell you, there's a lot of people thinking that churches are not essential and our faith is not essential. But let me tell you something. You know what? I'm willing to go to the grocery store to get food because, you have to eat to survive. And yet, notice with me in Matthew chapter 4, there's something more important than food. It's not just food we need. Matthew 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall what? Not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if someone doesn't eat for enough days, that person will die physically. But if someone doesn't receive the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, that person's going to die what? Spiritually and eternally. So talk about essential work. People are dying, just like those grandparents. People are dying all over. They need to hear the gospel. So essential, yes. More than ever, the gospel is essential. Let's go back to Matthew 28, verse 1. So we've got to come to the end before we can experience the beginning. Jesus had to come to the end of physical life and die, give his blood for us, before he could experience the resurrection. And in our lives, we must die to sin and yield our lives to Christ to experience that new life, that resurrection power. And then what does the Lord want us to be? Number 3, faithful. Verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came who? Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. 2 faithful women. I have a question for you. Where were the men? Where was Peter? The one who said, I'll never deny you. Where was James and John? The top 3. Where were the rest of the 11? We know Judas is gone by this time. He's killed himself. Where's the rest of the 11? Where's the 70? The 70 men that God, the Lord also called and sent out 2 by 2. Where were they? We don't see the 3. We don't see the other 8. And we don't see the 70. Who do we see? 2 faithful women. Reminds me in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when I was in school and they had several chapels scattered throughout the mountains. And so I went up to one, it's called Roark's Cove. Went up there to preach one Sunday, and there were 3 ladies gathered together. That was the church. 3 ladies up there in the mountains had come to church. Where are the men? These faithful ladies. Notice in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke 16:10. Where were the men? Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is what? Least is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If we want to be trusted, we have to be honest and trustworthy in what? The least. Then someone can trust us in the much, the Bible says here. So these 2 faithful women were coming. Notice with me in Jeremiah 29. They were coming to finish preparing the Lord's body. And of course, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had prepared it for burial. But, men are never as particular as women, generally speaking. And they had come. They had more things that they wanted to do in caring for his body. But in Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? All your heart. And that's what these 2 ladies were doing. They weren't concerned about getting arrested or this or that. They had come out of their love for Christ. And what was the great honor that God gave to Mary Magdalene in particular for doing this? Look in Mark 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Mark 16 and verse 9. The Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared what? First to who? Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. Peter was the one who boasted, "Oh, all men may be offended and forsake you, but not me, Lord. I won't. I'll die for you before I would do that." The other two, James and John. The other eight, none of them were there, but Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. But now Jesus appears first to Mary Magdalene. What an honor. You know, so many times in life people seek the showy things, sometimes do things just to be seen of others. Listen, Mary Magdalene had a servant's heart. And what an honor. The first person in front of which Jesus appeared was to Mary Magdalene. What an honor. And so I just want to encourage you today. Listen, let's just be faithful in the little things. Let's not seek greatness for ourselves. Let's just seek glory and honor for God. And that's what Mary Magdalene did. And what a tremendous honor was bestowed upon her. Notice in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. Hebrews 6:10. The Bible says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget what? Your work and labor of what? Love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. So take heart in that. So we've looked at, let's go back to Matthew 28. We've looked at the end. You've got to come to the end before you can have a beginning. Then we've looked at the faithful followers. And now number four, the opening of the door. The opening of the door. In Matthew 28, verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Notice in Mark chapter 16, you know, the ladies were concerned about that all along. It's like, how are we going to move that big rock, that big stone from the door? In Mark 16, verse 1. Let's go to verse 3 here. "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" So, is there something, is there some stone or some rock or something in your life right now that has you troubled? That's a great burden to you? And you don't know how you're going to overcome it. I don't know what it might be. It might be a number of things. There's something in particular in your life right now that seems like a huge stone that you cannot roll away. Listen, bring it to the Lord. Like these ladies. These ladies stepped out by faith to do the right thing, all the while not knowing how they were going to move that rock. But they went. And you know what? God moved it for them. Notice in Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will" what? "Answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Is not that what God did for Mary, both Marys here? Yes, that's exactly what He did. There may be large obstacles seemingly in the way of us for whatever thing God is leading us to do. But take heart. Just keep moving forward in the right direction, serving the Lord, and He will take care of those obstacles. There was something else. Let's go back to Matthew 20. There's something else. Not only that big rock was in the way, but there's two guys in the way. Two soldiers were in the way. So number five, the strong, which we just, well, let's look here. Yeah, this verse 4. "And for fear of him," the what? "The keepers did shake and became as dead men." So number five, the strong become weak and shaking. The strong become weak and shaking. The tough soldiers. I mean, how are these two ladies going to overcome these two soldiers to get into that tomb? Well, they didn't have to worry about it. They didn't have to worry about the rock. God sent an angel to move the rock. And now God is just terrifying these guys, by these soldiers, by what is happening. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Have you ever had a dream where you were afraid and you just couldn't move? Or you just couldn't speak? Sometimes I have dreams like that. My wife tells me that's when I yell out loud. You know, you're trying to get those words to come out, and finally they do. But these guys were in a situation. These soldiers are just shaking and trembling. They can't move. They're like dead men. So, number five, the strong become weak and shaking. Number six, the weak are now strong and joyful. So the roles reverse. The big tough soldiers, the big heavy rock, two ladies. They don't have the strength to take on either one. They don't have the strength to take on the rock. They don't have the strength to take on the soldiers. But number six, the weak are now strong and joyful. Verse five. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Is that not what we just read to do? To seek the Lord? Verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed, what? Quickly from the sepulcher with fear and what? Great joy. And did what? Run to bring his disciples word. What are you fearful about today? What in your life seems to be an obstacle that just seems to have you down, seems to have you discouraged? Why don't you bring that thing to Jesus? 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. For those that might still be wrestling with this matter of salvation. What a heavy burden. Why carry around a heavy burden? Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts 3, 19. You know what? God wants to take that burden off you today. Acts 3 and verse 19. What's the first word? Repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. Listen, this is God speaking. Now, I know people have a hard time forgiving our sins, but we're talking about God. He will what? He'll blot out our sins. He'll blot them out of the book. When the times of what? Refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And that is what Christ will do when we come to Him for salvation. He will blot out our sins. Because it's His blood paying for those sins. They're no longer on the account book held against us. They're no longer a debt against us. The ledger is clean. No more sin debt. And now we can go out free. We can go out refreshed. Why would anyone walk around in life with this heavy load of sin? There's no need to. And today, listen, if our lives seem worthless or just no meaning to them, listen, we need to experience the resurrection. We need to come, like in Matthew 20, we need to come to the end of something so we can start the beginning. Whatever it is in our lives that's dragging us on and keeping us from serving the Lord, we need to come to the end of that thing. We need to mark the end of that week, the end of whatever it is, and we need to come to a new day serving Christ. Notice in Matthew 28 once again in verse 7. Matthew 28, 7. There. He tells them to go quickly. Listen, they come before, and I don't suppose they were coming too fast. It's just getting dawn. There wasn't any big rush. But now, I'm sure they were talking over sorrowful things, but now they have some good news. Now they're told, go quickly, and that's what they did, verse 8. They departed quickly. Now they have great joy. Now they're running. Now they have something to do. And listen, I know these are difficult times. None of us None of our grandparents ever experienced what this. All these businesses closed, borders closed, decrees to do this and not do that. They never experienced that. Even World War II and Depression, they didn't experience what we're experiencing right now. But listen, what we need to learn is we need to quit running with the world, because that brings sorrow and death. We need to be like these ladies, humble, ready to serve the Lord, even in the little matters. They could have said, oh, his body is prepared enough, good enough. No, he is the Savior. They wanted to be particular, and they came for the little details. And you know what? If we put God first and his glory, you know what? It's going to be the same way in our lives. We're going to, verse 8, we're going to have something to do, and we're going to be filled with joy. In closing, let's go to Jude verse 22. Jude verse 22. And you know what it's all about? It's about his glory. That's what it's about. In Jude 22, in verse 22 through 25, verse 22. And of some have what? Compassion, making a difference. Is not this exactly what Pastor Jeremy taught us in Sunday school? It is. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23. And others, what? Save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Why are we doing these things? This is the key. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of what? His glory with what? Exceeding joy. Is that not what these two ladies experienced? They didn't come for their own selves. They came for his glory. And how did they leave? With great joy. Exactly what verse 24 shows. The presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, we would come to the end of ourselves so we can experience a resurrection, so we can experience the power of Christ working through us. I pray that that would be real in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Father, I pray that you would help us to come to the end of ourselves, the end of ourselves and trying to figure things out ourselves, and come to you asking for your direction and your wisdom and your power. Father, we thank you that even during this time, you've kept the door open. No one can shut the door that you open. Lord, thank you for keeping doors open for us. Thank you. Thank you that you kept the door open where we can come and worship, to praise you in song and to look into your word. Thank you for keeping the door open to these other ministries. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, may our lives glorify you. And may each one in here take courage this morning that you have a task for each one of us. And life becomes filled with joy when our lives, when we put you first and seek you first. Well, thank you for all you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 166.